To you now. My scripture reading is Psalms 122. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem that is built as a city that is compact together, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there thrones were set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these words, Lord, of your house. And Heavenly Father, the love of your servant David, King David, for your house and for you. Heavenly Father, may we have that same degree of love for both your house and for you. And Heavenly Father, bless the rest of this service and let everything be done to your praise and glory. In the name of Yeshua, we ask, and amen. My text is taken from that first verse of Psalms 122. And let's look at that. David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." How many of us feel exactly the same way? Because it indicates a great degree of respect for Yahweh, a great degree of respect for Him and for the house that is representative of Him. And this is where we are this morning. We are in the house of the Lord. We're in the house of Yahweh, our Father in heaven. And we want to give praise and honor to Him in the house that is known for Him. And my message to you this morning is the house of the Lord. I like to even say, the house of the living Yahweh. Because I like to speak of my God specifically. And my God is not the God of a lot of others in this world today. Hopefully many do speak of and show respect for the same God that I do. But I serve and honor and respect and worship the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And that is the one and only Yahweh. And in truth, it's the only true living God in existence. All others are thought by men and made up by men to be gods. Some are even made out of wood or metal or perhaps carved from stone or whatever. But all gods are false besides the one true living God, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that is the one that this house of worship honors and respects and teaches and preaches. The house of the Lord is a theme for this Psalms 122. And it could only be said in regard to the tent of meetings. That's what it originally was known as, the tent of meeting, or the tabernacle, the prototype having been built to the specifications of Yahweh, exact dimensions, exact in every respect, size, shape, height, width, everything done according to God's instructions. And it was given to Moses, and it was constructed and first known as the Tent of Meeting. The temple on Mount Moriah was not completed until the reign of Solomon, David's son. Still, the tabernacle was repeatedly called the house of the Lord. Long before the temple was built. Though Psalms 122 is a record of David's own personal feelings about Jerusalem and the house of God, he doubtlessly wrote this psalm for God's people as they were to respond to the commands of God to come to the temple and worship Yahweh. For sure, for these three great annual festivals of God's people. You read Leviticus 23, and you'll see that God has appointment times with you as God's people. And there are three primary major festivals that most everyone recognize, particularly the Jewish people. And those are those three festivals of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Those are the three great annual festivals of the year. There were several things that is known and thought of in regard to the house of the Lord, that place where Yahweh dwells and is known for His presence. One thing that was known by the people was the joy that they experienced on the way to Jerusalem. David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" And some of the truths implied here is that first, it is the will of God that we should worship Him. And He wants us to worship Him in a particular place, in a place for an assembly of God's people, those that He love, Yahweh, and want to show honor and respect to Him. We worship Him in a place as an assembly. And we encourage each other there. We learn from each other there. We are there with enthusiasm. And we're there with joy to be there and to serve the living God that we do. We learn and observe ordinances together by way of remembrance. Part of these are the festivals. Seven festivals in Leviticus 23 that God says you have an appointment with Him. You honor Him and you keep your appointment or you don't. God wants us to remember that the festivals are, each one of them, to learn of God's ways. To learn that they came about through the spoken word of Yahweh. He wants us to be in continual communication with Him. And that's part of the system. That's part of why there are seven scattered over the year. He doesn't want it to be any lengthy period of time that we don't celebrate. We don't remember Him. We don't remember what He's done. That we do remember that He is a delivering God, that He is a providing God, that He is a God that loves us, that as we honor Him and recognize Him as our God, as Yahweh of old and always, that He's going to be that God that we read and that the Holy Spirit lets us know it's Him. And that He's the one that brought us into existence. And He's the one that cares for us. He's the one that will be with us through everything that we go through in our life as God's people. He will be there. He will never leave or forsake us during any circumstances as we hold on to Him. That's part of Him being our Heavenly Father. And that's part of us being His sons and daughters. Our attitude toward the church and toward it being that house of Yahweh, whom we serve as our loving Savior and God. It should always be spoken of and treated with an upbuilding and optimistic attitude. It should always be positive when we speak of the Lord, the house of the Lord, or Yahweh's place, our meeting place, our assembly place. Historically, many of the Jews coming to Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks. Is that strange to you? I could say Festival of Weeks, and maybe that'd make it a little better. You know what I'm talking about? Historically, people go up at that time of the year at the Festival of Weeks. What festival is that? Pentecost. Weeks. And it's called weeks because the weeks that you have to number from Passover to determine when it is. 7 weeks. 7 times 7, 49. And Pentecost means 50. 50 days from that starting point in at Passover time. 50 days to tabernacles. And historically, many of the Jews that made that trip came from long distances. And they would go on a pilgrimage to be at Jerusalem at that Festival of Weeks or Festival of Pentecost. They found the journey many times tedious and wearying, yet always they comforted themselves with the thought that when they finally got there, what joy it would be to be in the city of God, to be where His temple was. The place that represented the glory of God. The temple that housed the Ark of the Covenant, in which was placed the Ten Commandments of God. The royal law of God was placed within that Ark of the Covenant, which was inside the Holy of Holies of the temple, of the tabernacle. That's what was on their mind and in their heart. What joy it will be when we get there to where we can be in His city, in beautiful Jerusalem, and there where his temple was. And besides the joy that they experienced on the way to Jerusalem, there was a great esteem by all for Jerusalem as the city of God. And surely from David. David wasn't impressed with the natural physical beauty of Jerusalem. I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood, I believe I was reading last night, and remember that Jerusalem is around mountains, and you know how beautiful that can be. And Jerusalem, I think, was about 2,500 feet above sea level. That's pretty good. That's about like the Smoky Mountains or so. So imagine that beautiful city built in a beautiful place like that. And so David was impressed. And the houses that was built was not just scattered here and there and everywhere without fault in planning or building. They were built with forethought and design. And the streets were beautiful and spacious. David's description of Jerusalem could be compared to the ideal spiritual design of the church, which is formed in spiritual unity and love and communion. There were two general reasons why the Israelites rejoiced in coming together in Jerusalem. And first, they received instruction from God when they came and were present in the temple or present for these festivals. They would be taught God's word. They would be taught about why you're here. What's the festival for? What's the implications? What happened in the past concerning this at different times in history? What happening now that's relevant? What's going to happen in the future that's relevant? And so there's a lot of beautiful things connected with coming to Jerusalem, with the city Jerusalem, with the house of the Lord. There were prophets and there were teachers here at Jerusalem, at the temple. And it was all to give honor and praise and respect to the name of the Lord. And thanksgiving was always a vital part of this worship of the Hebrew people and of us today in His house of worship and to Yahweh. The people had a reason to be in love with Jerusalem, because justice was administered there by a king who was concerned about every aspect of their life. He was concerned about their well-being. He was concerned about the economy, how well they were doing. He was concerned about the natural as well as the physical, the material needs. And naturally, spiritual needs, number one. Thrones, as that word is used in the scripture reading, thrones refer to courts where civil disputes were settled. And Christians ought to know from all of this that we all need to be concerned about the civil needs and the problems of all of our society. The joy of being in Jerusalem, the great esteem and why for Jerusalem, and the great concern for Jerusalem. In verse 6, we read, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who loves you." Do you now wonder why you hear different people perhaps on TV too, admonish you to pray for Jerusalem, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know what happens at Jerusalem? Affects the whole world. It is thought of there that it is, in effect, gives a temperature of what's going on over the whole earth. This tiny land bridging the Middle East controls the international temperature of the world. How can that be? Well, it was in that area that God first placed human beings. Not far off from there was the Garden of Eden, thought to be in, of all places, Iraq, in which the world has been focused so greatly for the last 10 years. Isn't that something? That we come to this point in time, 6,000 years into man's existence, and after the Garden of Eden, and we seem to be back to the place that it all started. Makes you wonder how far perhaps God's end to all of this and His beginning of other things may be. In verse 7, David prays for peace among the people with the expression, within thy walls. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. Pray for Jerusalem. Pray for God's peace. God's will be done. All of this is in His hands. All of this is sustained by Him. And all of this is in His control. Also, we are to pray not only for Jerusalem and for the people there, for God's people throughout the world and Jerusalem, but we are to pray for leaders who sit in the palaces, who give direction and leadership to the people. For it's for sure, however the leaders prosper, so are the blessed of God. The blessings will be passed on to His people. And that's why we are told in God's Word, it's God that sets up the leaders of this world. It doesn't just happen. It's in His control like everything else. So in essence, at least for some leaders, now, we know that there's bad leaders. Obviously, there is. And we might not see God's purpose and plan behind some of that. But it is in His control. And He can set up and He can tear down. And He does. David was a people's king. He loved his people. The stories are many and varied of how he worked and was anointed to be king, and then how he became king. He wanted to see his people happy and prosperous. And the people of Israel was never more happy and prosperous than they was during that period of time of King David and his son King Solomon. Solomon was a king that asked for wisdom above everything else. King David was a king that had a heart close to God. A man after God's own heart was King David. So you can see how that is very true just because of how David wrote of his God and of his God's house to be worshiped at. He loved the people. He loved God. He loved God's house. He loved going to God's house. And so should you. And if you don't, you should be questioning yourself. Why not? What's wrong with me? There is something wrong. Because God loves you. He wants you to be His. You should love serving Him. You should love reading His Word. You should love doing the things that God sets out for you to do. In verse 9, it returns to the opening theme. Let's look at verse 9. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good, meaning God's people. We are God's people. And we could easily think of the house of the Lord to mean the body of Christ. Have you ever thought about it that way? We could easily think of the house of the Lord as or to mean the body of Christ. We should seek the good of all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. So what can we say about this psalm that we have read today and are discussing? It's obvious that David loved the house of the Lord, and so should we. He longed to see God's people strengthened through their service and devotion and worship of Him. May God give each one of us a greater love for His church and a greater love for our fellow brothers and sisters. And may He see that we are able to continue our assembly in joyful worship of our loving Father, Yahweh. Let us stand together right now and let us repeat Yahweh's blessing to us on this wonderful Shabbat Sabbath. And let us have a Shabbat Shalom together, a peaceful Sabbath together. May you have a peaceful, joyous Sabbath to your Heavenly Father. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.